760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest. We hope you find joy in the journey. I am Josh Harris, joined by some very special friends in the studio as usual. Allison DeLuel.
Good morning.
And Dave Savage.
That's me.
How are you doing?
Wonderful.
Well, great. And the best way to start any day is with some prayer. So who's got one ready for us? Maybe that's me. Plot twist. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus, I pray you guide us through this day, through this hour. And I pray that we and our Quest family just draw nearer to you as I say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Now, I have a little message of encouragement from our Holy Father. He wrote this directly to me. No, I'm just kidding. But we were in the Knights meeting last night, and one of our lead Knights, dear friend John Williams, read this to the entire group, and I thought it was such an encouragement. It was just such a great message. So, without further ado, I would just love to read this message that I believe Pope Leo XIV wrote to those who have fallen away from the church, those who are struggling. Hopefully, someone you know could be, and maybe it's you, could benefit from this message. I know it certainly touched my heart. Brothers and sisters, I speak to you, especially to those who no longer believe, no longer hope, no longer pray because they think God has left. To those who are fed up with scandals, with misused power, with the silence of a church that sometimes seems more like a palace than a home. I too was angry with God. I too saw good people die. Children suffer. Grandparents cry without medicine. And yes, there were days when I prayed and only felt an echo. But then I discovered something. God doesn't shout. God whispers. Mm. And sometimes he whispers from the mud, from pain, from a grandmother who feeds you without having anything. I don't come to offer you perfect faith. I come to tell you that faith is a walk with stones, puddles, and unexpected hugs. I'm not asking you to believe in everything. I'm asking you not to close the door. Give God a chance. Give a chance to the God who waits for you without judgment. I'm just a priest who saw God in the smile of a woman who lost her son, and yet she cooked for others. That changed me. So, if you're broken, if you don't believe, if you're tired of the lies, come anyway, with your anger, your doubt, your dirty backpack. No one here will ask for a VIP card, because the church, as long as I breathe, will be a home for the homeless and a rest for the weary. God doesn't need soldiers. He needs brothers. And you, yes, you are one of them.
Wow.
Oh.
That's beautiful. And again, I know you were saying it's probably a message to those that have fallen away from the church. I think many of those things in there are current people within the church that struggle with. So,
well, I was going to say, and define fallen away from the church, because I think there's probably, I don't know how to say this, but people that go to Mass every Sunday that may have fallen away a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Or maybe don't even fully understand why they're coming. It might just be, oh, I got to go to Mass. And then that's it. Not understanding why we're there and what is happening and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think that you guys bring up a really great point. I mean, that's the ebbs and flows of faith, right? You're kind of, I don't want to say on a mountaintop, but we have high moments.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Absolutely.
So we're certainly going to have our valleys, we're going to have our peaks, but this is the line I thought really hit me, where he talked about faith is a walk with stones, puddles, and unexpected hugs.
Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, it's not always going to be easy. It's not easy. But when you have that relationship, mm-hmm. when you just keep moving forward.
Well, and it's like anything that's worth working, you know, a marriage, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same type of thing.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be high times, low times, and everything in between.
But if you're doing it right, you'll always feel the magic. Am I right?
Hey, Josh, no, that's not right. I know you're being funny. I know you're putting on your humor, but I'm like, just in case people do not realize that your humor is quite often, I am going to be like, no, that's not the case always.
You know that there's a first-time listener, like, they had their trigger finger on the dial when they heard that. This guy, I was hearing some wisdom until that nonsense came out of the...
And then I chime in with the truth.
Yeah. That's unfortunately, I think, why... People probably, honestly, though, that is how you could liken it to a marriage. That is why people tap out, unfortunately, mm-hmm. of a marriage, mm-hmm. of their faith walk. I stop feeling it.
Yeah, it's not
Look
a feeling.
Look at Mother Teresa, though, by the way.
I know, we talked about her recently.
Decades, it felt like there was radio silence between her and God. And yet she's still persevering, still doing these heroic works. Mm-hmm. And isn't that... the gift that God gave her, you know, to really showcase her his relationship with her was like an authentic marriage, in mm-hmm. that you can persevere even when you're quote unquote not feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not about feelings. It's
when you're at your wit's end sometimes. Yeah. It's like, not that I've ever felt that way.
Dave, I am like, I've never seen that before. That is hilarious.
Who are you talking about, Davey?
Honey, I love you.
I love it.
Well, you guys bring up a powerful point. Thank you for reminding us that, again, regardless of the relationship, especially the spiritual relationship we are in, we can persevere regardless if it's a high time or a low time or an in-between time. It's mm-hmm. truly a grace. Speaking of graces, we have some really awesome guests lined up for today. Our friend Father Scott Riley, priest at St. Brendan the Navigator, reflecting on today's gospel. Our buddy Chuck Persner, Saint Scholar, is talking about Saint Bernardine of Siena. Amazing, amazing reflection. Oh, also, remember that scripture verse today? I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. That's John 13:34. Our friend Greg and Michelle McDonald will be in the studio today blessing us with some beautiful, beautiful reflections and insights. But next, our dear friend Father Siloway of All Saints, Dunwoody, will be speaking about new priest assignments. Hello, and priest assignments. That's going to be really exciting.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Father Michael Siloway, pastor of All Saints in Dunwoody. Thank you so much for joining us, Father.
You're so welcome. Great to be with you all again, and happy Tuesday morning.
Happy Tuesday. So, Father, the Archdiocese just announced a good number of those priest assignment changes late last week. Why are so many priests moving?
Yeah, tis the season. Mm-hmm. You know, and particularly just after having all the transition at the Vatican with our new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, it ties in kind of perfectly. But this time of year is usually when priest assignments come out. But this year, I think, kind of caught a lot of people off guard, because at least the inside baseball was that there weren't going to be a whole lot of transitions this year, because for the first time, I think, ever in archdiocesan history, we're not ordaining any priests this year, which is kind of a shock and kind of a wake-up call of our need to always, always, always beg of the Lord to send out laborers for his vineyard. There are tons of vocations here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, like young men who the Lord is calling to be priests, and a lot of times they may not experience that call or be able to fully respond, and we're invited to pray for them and to ask the Lord to set that fire in their hearts that they respond with great zeal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the first time, we're not ordaining any priests. And so everybody kind of thought, this will be a year of just very limited moves. Maybe one guy's retiring here or there, or we might kind of shift around a guy to give a different kind of experience. But that's not what happened. If you saw the list, there's
long.
Yeah, 15, 16 priests at least that are involved. And that has a huge domino effect, because when one priest does retire, or one priest needs a sabbatical, or one priest is looking for a change in assignment in one way or another, well, then obviously you have to put another priest there.
Yes, yes.
So, for instance, I know over at Our Lady of the Assumption, over in Brookhaven, the Marists, God love them, they've been serving that parish for decades. They're going to focus most of their ministerial efforts now at the school, and so the Marist priests are leaving the parish, and so that opened up. You need at least two priests at OLA. You could probably do with three or four.
Yeah.
But so that needed two priests, and so Father Dan Ketter from the Archdiocese Tribunal Office is going over there to be their new pastor, and they're getting a new parochial vicar who's coming, who's Father Nick Lee, who's coming from Holy Vietnamese Martyrs. And so Holy Vietnamese Martyrs is losing a parochial vicar, and so the tribunal is losing their head. So now you got to put new priests into those places, and then it just kind of it spirals.
Wow.
And just of the domino effect. So
yeah.
So it's leading to a lot of changes.
Wow, and you bring up a really powerful point, Father, is that so many of these spots, I mean, there's an interconnectivity between all of them, and so you think, oh, a seamless transition, but then that spot needs to be replaced, mm-hmm. and then some of these spots are very specialized, like you talk about the tribunal. Now, I would love to know, you've, I'm sure, experienced this, what is it like leaving a parish to go to a new one?
Yeah, to be honest, it's really, really hard, because... priests, when we're really at our best, we're trying to love the people of God like the father our title suggests we are, trying to be like a father of a family. And so it's like we've made memories with people, especially if you've been at your assignment for multiple years. Yeah. You've really gotten to know the community. You've gotten to love them. You've been challenged by them. They've challenged you. You've challenged them. But you grow through those trials together. And just like a family does, we celebrate, we mourn, we experience life together. And then all of a sudden, to get that phone call from the bishop that says you're needed elsewhere. It's like your life uproots and you remember, it's like, this is what I signed up for. Mm. This is what the apostles did. This is how Jesus himself lived. Mm. So how can I expect it to be any different? But on a very human level, it's very difficult because the relationships you establish, and then it's like, now you've got to start all over again with a new community that God is asking you to love like a father. So it's a unique dynamic. That I don't think most people consider. It's just like, oh, we're getting a new priest. It's kind of like a new boss is coming into town. It's like, well, not really. The priest is supposed to be a father. And so that dynamic really can pull on the heartstrings, as it were.
Wow. I bet it can. So, Father, how do priests, when they try to enter into a new community, how can the parishioners, you know, us there in the pews, best receive a new priest if they are coming to our parish?
Yeah, I think it's a both and. The priest and the people, I would just invite to really have exceptional patience with one another and really take the time to get to know one another and work hard not to compare.
Mm-hmm.
It can be so difficult, or let me say it can be so tempting, just be like, oh, we either had a really good priest before and this new guy's never going to be able to measure up. And that's really not fair, because because he's going to have certain talents and gifts and strengths. He's also going to come along with his own unique weaknesses. And I think that every priest should be given a fair chance to lead and to love as the Lord has given him the gifts and talents to do so. And at the same time, the priest too, and this is something Archbishop Wilton Gregory, now Cardinal Wilton Gregory, told me the first time I was going off to be a pastor. He said, Michael, don't change a thing. Like in your first year, don't change a thing. It's like you really focus on getting to know the people and letting them get to know you. And so I think there's something obviously incumbent upon the priest too, to recognize you're walking into a parish that's already well established, that has a culture, and maybe the Lord is calling you to challenge and change that culture a little bit. But do it slowly. Do it slowly, because this is the people of God, and the bride of Christ has a voice too, as one of my brother priests said.
Yeah.
So I'd also just recommend, in that getting to know each other kind of phase in the time of transition, and I can't speak for every priest, because not every priest is you know outgoing or whatever, but I can say most priests do love being invited to people's families and into their homes, like for dinner or for a game night or something like this.
Yeah.
And it gives us a time to get to know one another without an agenda, not saying, Father, these are the five things I think need to change about this parish.
That's important to hear. Yeah.
Or we need to start these ministries right now. It's like, well, hang on, let's get to know one another. And through that building of trust, we'll begin to understand what God is calling us to do.
Now, that is so nice. And truly, Father, I mean, just knowing that priests are human, too, I think it's so easy to put them on a pedestal and just make them all that we want them to be when they are human and they're people like us.
Yes, please don't put us on pedestals, because that's where we fall the hardest. Mm-hmm. And I think if we have a mutual respect for one another, that God has given each one of us gifts and talents, we each have a role within the church, that's where we're going to flourish.
Amen.
Yeah, and just to paraphrase a friend of mine who is a newer priest, he stepped into the role of an old parochial vicar, and he had to address the congregation, and he essentially said, you know, I've heard some people talking about, you know, or essentially, I'm assuming he was just, you know, this is something he had kind of intuited, that people are wondering, will I be as good as pastor, or, you know, parochial vicar Joe? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to make up a name there. And he said, you know, the truth is, no, I will not be a new Joe. I tried to be as good as this person on the basketball team when we were in seminary. I fell short. What I can promise you is I'll be the best me that I can be. And I thought that was a awesome, really poignant and mm-hmm. honest, vulnerable way to, you know, articulate how I would assume a lot of priests might feel stepping into oh, yeah. the shoes of someone who's, like you said, a former beloved pastor, you know, or shepherd in that role.
Yes, it is so true. It is so true. So let's give each other the opportunity to just like God slowly reveals himself, not only to the people of Israel and into the church, but even to us today. He's constantly so patient with us, revealing himself generally and gradually to us. So too, let's do with our priests and with our people.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Michael Siloway. We are so grateful for you. Once again, you are pulling our heartstrings and making us better people. We are truly grateful.
Honor to be with y'all, and have a great day.
You too, Father. Father Scott Riley, priest at St. Brendan the Navigator and Cumming, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you so much. Well, today's gospel is from John chapter 14, 27 to 31. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. But the world must know that I love the Father, and I do just as the Father has commanded me." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is a very, very beautiful gospel. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's reassuring, something we need today.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, we just have such a lack of peace.
Yes.
You know, lack of peace in our, yeah, in our world, in politics, in mm-hmm. education field. Is peace possible, actually? And there's yeah. this one book by Fulton Sheen. It was called Peace of Soul. I remember the first line. I think it goes like this. There will never be world peace until there is interior peace.
Amen wow. to that.
Yeah. The interior peace that comes from relationship
yeah.
with Jesus, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's interesting. What is the type of peace Jesus brings? He's telling us, I'm going to give you peace, but not as the world gives mm-hmm. peace.
Yeah, because, again, typically, worldly peace has a shelf life, an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
You get a car, you get a raise, you get a wife, you get whatever it is, and it's good things. I mean, wonderful things that are, many of the times we could say are gifts from God, but detached from the Creator, you know, without recognition of the Creator, without a sacramental rhythm, our hearts become empty again, right? We're trying to fill a God-sized hole.
Yeah, with stuff.
Yeah.
Which is not possible.
Yeah, stuff isn't good. It just doesn't fill us up, you know. There's the other thing, too, with when Jesus says a peace. He's saying this before he goes to his passion.
Mm.
This peace, it's tied to the passion of Christ.
Oh, well.
So there's a beautiful prayer, Anima Christi, soul of Christ, make me holy. Body of Christ, be my salvation. Blood of Christ, drench me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me clean. Passion of Christ, strengthen me.
Mm.
Kind Jesus, hear my prayer. Hide me within your wounds. Keep me close to you. Defend me from the evil enemy. Call me at my death to the fellowship of your saints, where I can live and reign with you forever. Amen. Mm. hide me in your wounds. And when we die to ourselves, Jesus is encouraging us to die to the selfishness that we have. That's where the militancy is as well, a personal militancy. We're dying to that selfishness that is always trying to get a grip on us. And the measure that freedom truly lives, where I can choose the truth and choose love, there's peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the circumstances that can be very tumultuous that Jesus, he does not prevent us from enduring those terrible experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in those experiences that he calls us.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking from the center of the storm.
Yeah.
For example, when he was walking on the waves. It's a ghost. Peace. And he didn't settle everything down and explain everything away. What is the peace? It's his person.
Yeah.
It's the presence of Christ.
Yep.
And therefore, that's a calling to us to live with intentionality, with awareness, the life of grace, that grace matters. Grace really matters.
And as you're talking about that Mass, and even Josh, my gosh, was it last week? You're like, go spend time with Jesus. I mean, my life, things are coming to an end with school, 3 kids, juggling a lot of balls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, just go be with Jesus. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. So I went in there, and it's wild because it truly took time with Jesus. It took some time for me to wind down just from all the things that I've got to do. But once I was in there for a few minutes, the peace was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be one whole hour. I mean, any parish, go be in front of Jesus and let him fill you with peace. Just be silent and just say, here I am, Lord.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just a great reminder, too. I mean, nothing done for God is done in vain.
Mm-hmm.
No time spent with him will not bear eternal dividends. So the other thing, Father, I actually want to say is you talk about, he says this right before his passion. Now, I don't like to say this, and I don't like to say it publicly, but if he's saying it before his passion, that oftentimes a deeper union with Jesus and a deeper familiarity with peace might involve suffering. I don't like that. I don't like that one bit, but that's just the way it goes. And typically when we look back, we realize, oh yeah, that was so good for me, even though it was the last thing I would have chosen. Mm-hmm. There was no growth in comfort and no comfort in growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we got to take, I think, stock as well. It's not that Jesus is a masochist and give me pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give me pain. I just want pain. I want to feel pain. No, that's not good. That's not healthy. But it is painful to love another that's not reciprocating love, a person that might have called you names, to forgive.
Yeah.
That's tough. But the peace comes from accepting the crosses that we have in our life for a greater good.
And that greater good as well, Father, it could be painful to give up something that's keeping us from experience Christ's peace. You know, we spend time with the Lord and we go, oh, wait a minute, this is a hurdle. But I don't know if I want to give up this pacifier.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point. Just making a recommendation for a book.
Yes.
So, please, Father.
There's this book titled Searching For and Maintaining Peace by Father Jacques Philippe.
Oh, he's
I've heard
great.
Of this book.
Yeah, that is a, you know, it's a really small book.
Yeah.
It's like 100 pages if that, but I really recommend that. It's great. It's got some great insights. For example, here, let me just, I just pulled this one up.
Yes.
The paragraph I took, it says, however, it is essential for us to come to understand that the way to God and the perfection that is demanded of us is shorter and more efficacious, markedly easier too, when one has learned. See, it's not like you just get it.
Mm-hmm.
One has learned little by little how to conserve in all circumstances a profound peace of heart.
Mm.
Because then the heart allows itself to be driven by the Holy Spirit, and God is able to do more with it by his grace than the heart could do by its own efforts.
Wow. And I loved hearing all circumstances.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what's going on, having that interior peace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's amen.
Wonderful gift. And thank you so much, Father. What's a good takeaway for today?
Well, yeah, great question. I think a great takeaway is to strive to be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
by, well, first of all, opening one's heart to Jesus more. Mm-hmm. So that might be a little bit more prayer. Secondly, maybe adoration, yeah. And secondly, to try to convey peace to others, leave them with peace, to see that the person that I even meet at Publix or Kroger, can I leave them with greater peace than they had beforehand? Because God is within me.
Amen.
That's a great point. And I want to just, you've inspired me, Father. I'm going to close with this quote from St. Teresa of Avila. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices.
Thank you so much,
Father Scott Riley, LC from St. Brendan the Navigator. You are such a gift to us.
God bless you. See you guys later.
In a surprise announcement today, President Donald Trump revealed that Russia and Ukraine negotiations towards a ceasefire and possibly to end the war.
The Morning Quest traffic.
Well, should we start up the news? Is that the new news cue? Okay, I'm going to start from the top. In a surprise announcement today, President Donald Trump revealed that Russia and Ukraine will begin negotiations towards a ceasefire and possibly to end the war. The news came after a two-hour call between Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Trump posted on Truth Social, Russia and Ukraine will immediately start negotiations, and the Vatican has expressed interest in hosting these talks. Putin confirmed the initiative, saying that Russia is ready to draft a memorandum outlining peace terms, crediting Trump for restarting the stalled process. Vice President J.D. Vance told reporters Trump emphasized both moral and economic urgency, urging Putin to stop the violence and promising U.S. partnership if peace is pursued. Vance said, if you're willing to stop the killing, the United States is willing to be a partner for peace. Meanwhile, Pope Leo XIV called for a just and lasting peace for the beloved Ukrainian people and recently met with Ukraine's Catholic leader, Major Archbishop. The announcement comes on the heels of a major U.S.-Ukraine mineral agreement and renewed U.S. commitment to rebuilding efforts. For now, the world watches closely and prays that peace is finally on the horizon. This story, compliments of CatholicVote.com.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It is 8:34.
We are joined by Saint Scholar Chuck Persner. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Josh. How are you?
I'm blessed. About to be better. Who we got on the agenda today?
Yeah, so today on May 20th, our church commemorates Saint Bernardine of Siena, a man who, in addition to earning the title of the Apostle of Italy, was often referred to as the Apostle of the Holy Name as well, for he promulgated devotion to the Most Holy Name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's probably what he's most known for, really. Many of you undoubtedly recall the fact that we celebrated the much-beloved Virgin and Doctor of our Church, St. Catherine of Siena, less than a month ago. So perhaps holy water ran through the pipes and faucets of this very quaint little medieval city in central Italy, but they clearly have a lot to celebrate and be grateful for, to have two such great saints to come from there. He was an Italian priest, a Franciscan missionary, and a systematizer of scholastic economics. So this was a man who had a number of different skills and talents. He was known for his charisma, just a prolific orator. Perhaps in a nod to these great abilities of his, he became the patron saint of advertisers, also the patron saint of the Diocese of San Bernardino, California, and the city of Bernalda, Italy, as well as those who deal with compulsive behavior, such as gambling addictions and such, not to mention those suffering with chest pain and chest issues. So when you do pray for those who fall into these latter three categories today, be sure to seek St. Bernardine of Siena's intercession, for it will be particularly powerful today. He was born into a noble family, orphaned at the age of six, though, and his aunt took care of him and raised him in the faith. As a young man, he witnessed quite a bit. He saw the ravages of the bubonic plague in his hometown of Siena, And he actually volunteered to care for the sick in the local hospital at a very young age. So he was a charitable heart from the get-go. Yeah. He fasted and ministered to those hospitalized by the plague. In fact, he so exhausted himself with his work at the hospital that he came down with a fever and was bedridden for several months during the early stages of his life. Mm. After he recovered, he cared for his aunt until she passed away. He would then spend much time in contemplative prayer in order to discern God's will for his life. So here we see him growing in devotion and charity. Ultimately, he did indeed discern a call to holy orders in the religious life, and he joined the Franciscans at the young age of 22 years old.
Wow.
Lived in solitude for over a decade before being sent to preach in the streets, which he did with incredible skill, so much so that he became the most renowned preacher of his day. And he still holds that reputation, which he gained as a preacher of peace, known to have reconciled many opposing factions through the city of Italy. So here we have a guy who's diplomatic. Everybody needs a few of those guys around, particularly today. He traveled on foot to some of these strife-torn cities, much like some of the other saints we've talked about in prior segments, when attacking sin and paganism and encouraging all to live a life of faith and virtue. And in time, huge crowds numbering in the tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands?
Oh, yeah. They'd come to hear him preach in the public square. His reputation just grew like wildfire. His fame and effectiveness as a preacher compelled the Pope to compare him to none other than St. Paul the Apostle, whom Bernardine admired very, very much. And he once observed, and I quote, "By word of mouth, by letters, by miracles, and by the example of his own life, St. Paul bore the name of Jesus wherever he went. He praised the name of Jesus at all times, but never more than when bearing witness to the faith." So here we see where he's starting to grow in this devotion to promulgate the holy name of Jesus. And he would actually go on to serve as the head of his Franciscan community. When he began, and this is a great success story, there were 300 friars. And when he died in the year 1444, there were over 4,000.
Hmm.
So this is an incredible success story.
Wait, how many were there?
Over 4,000.
And then when he started?
300.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an impressive return on investment.
It certainly is. I wish I could get that in my stock portfolio.
Yeah.
But it was St. Bernardine who famously devised the IHS symbol, which are the first three letters of the name of Jesus in Greek, over a blazing sun as a monogram and logo for the holy name of Jesus. And he did so to replace the public display of insignias and other superstitious symbols of rival family tribes which disturbed the peace. This symbol of Christ began appearing in churches and on public buildings. And to this very day, Bernardine's symbol is very prevalent. That's what's called now Bernardine's symbol. So. Mm-hmm. Again, here we see a guy who used his communication skills. He had a compassionate heart, prolific orator. You know, again, tens of thousands of people would come out to hear him speak.
Wow.
And that is, of course, why he's known as the patron saint to marketers and public relations professionals, those who rely on their communication skills to make a living, amongst other things. So you have St. Bernardine of Siena.
And he really gave it all he had. He preached his final sermon in 1444 and collapsed from exhaustion shortly after and died in L'Aquila on May 20th, 1444. His tomb became a pilgrimage site.
Right.
A few cool quotes from this guy. "If you seek the way, take Christ, because he is the way. If you seek the goal, hold fast to Christ, because he is the life. If you desire security, remain with Christ, because he is the truth." Another one. "The name of Jesus is a light in food, in medicine. It is light when it is preached to us. It is food when we meditate upon it. It is medicine that soothes our pains when we invoke it."
Yeah, and that's a quote, once again, to a nod to what he's perhaps most known for, that, and of course, the symbol. And, you know, it's interesting to think about focusing on the name of Jesus. We now have a feast day on the calendar, which celebrates the most holy name of Jesus. And I know that Father John Ricardo, actually, I thought of Father John Ricardo twice as you were talking, Josh, really? Because he first and foremost, when you said that Bernardine of Siena literally died of exhaustion, and I've often heard Father John Ricardo on his show. And of course, that can be heard every day, Monday through Friday on The Quest at noon, talking about what a great thing to be able to say that you would one day die exhausted for Christ, which speaks to our need to evangelize and to do good. Again, shades of Matthew 25 and some of the things we're called to do. And then another thing Father John Ricardo speaks of on his program is taking the Lord's name in vain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we tend to think of it as calling out you know, in a profane nature. But instead, he speaks of the fact that he believes that this sacrament is broken more often in Mass than anywhere else. When we just go through the motions with our prayers, we must remember that when we say the name of Jesus, it brings power. It represents our salvation, our hope. It represents our everything. And with a saint like this on the calendar here on this 20th day of May, it gives us a chance to just step back and reflect upon that very fact.
Yeah. So it takes a lot of humility to be as fantastic of an orator and as popular of a preacher as he was. As expected, he got some offers to, you know, be a little bit higher ranking in office. I think he turned down three times an offer to be bishop.
You know, I think it was a situation where he just thought he was meant to be this parish priest and to use his skills in that particular instance, in that moment, amongst the people he were called to serve.
Yeah, in three different places, in Siena, Ferrara, and Urbino, he felt so called and dedicated to Franciscan missionary life that he wanted nothing else.
Yeah.
Instead, he said, "I am the worthless servant of Christ crucified, and I do not wish to be anything else."
All right. Well, that's humility.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, definitely not saying that's the universal response when you are called to be a bishop, but in his instance, God was moving through all of his life circumstances, clearly, as he does in our lives when we turn our will over to him. But it's, you know, like that old children's book, I think it's, "Oh, the Places You'll Go." And this guy really spotlighted that, you know, when we hand our two fish and five loaves over to the Christ, that he shows up and shows off.
Yeah, it really is. And you see, again, the influence of St. Paul in the name of Jesus. It's certainly no accident that the readings chosen for his feast day, taken from Acts 18, in John's Gospel, chapter 16, all reference with great specificity and reverence the name of Jesus.
So these are
handpicked readings for him, and it's a devotion near and dear to him. You know, I'll leave you with a quote here from Bernardino of Siena himself, where he says, "The name of Jesus is the glory of preachers because the shining splendor of that name causes his word to be proclaimed and heard. And how do you think such an immense, sudden, and dazzling light of faith came into the world? If not because Jesus was preached, was it not through the brilliance and sweet savor of this name that God called us into his marvelous light?" St. Bernardino of Siena.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest traffic.
In Fulton County in Atlanta, there is an accident. The right shoulder is blocked at I-285 southbound at after Howell Parkway, exit 12. In DeKalb County, Chamblee, there is an accident and the left lane is blocked at I-285 westbound before Chamblee-Tucker Road, exit 34. I'm Allison DeLille, Quest Atlanta Traffic.
On the horizon, our good friends Greg and Michelle McDonald will be talking about God's love and loving others, even through a prodigal son journey. We are joined by Greg McDonald, founder of Men as Christ, and Michelle McDonald, his wife, talking about God's love and loving others, even through a prodigal son's journey. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you guys again.
We are so happy you all are back.
Yeah, I can't. I'm a little overwhelmed by that. It's going to be 90 degrees today.
I know, that's pretty warm. Gosh.
Is it going to be 90?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be like 80.
No, well, the high near 90.
Do you not listen to Allison's forecast?
Oh my gosh!
Michelle.
I'm sorry. I think I looked at my phone. It's wrong. Allison, you're right.
It's like when I'm going in confession. I always feel a little extra heat when I'm about to get to the priest and I cool off. I come down about 5 degrees after that. So it's good. It's good.
Wow.
Well, Allison is the only place anybody gets their weather. Am I right? The authoritative source.
Oh, yes. That's me.
Around the clock.
The weather lady.
That's it.
It's better than the lunch
lady. And you're always right.
I know. You're always right.
I don't check my weather until the next day Allison's on air. That's how devoted I am to her forecasts. Well, you guys are here with us. We are so grateful to have you. And I hear you got a pretty cool topic for us today.
Yeah, I think it's funny because when you look at the weekly Gospels and how they dovetail into our lives and just seem to be what we call the God incidences of, wow, I needed that right then. I didn't know I needed that. And And this last week, we're coming out of Jesus's command to love one another, right? No matter what. And that's a hard thing to do. And Michelle and I obviously have chosen to do that in our marriage. But, you know, you don't just exist in your marriage in a bubble. So we have children, we have our family, we have jobs, we have, you know, the whims of life. And that can be a real challenge. So I think that you know, the most relevant example of that, recent example of that, is, you know, one of our sons was really struggling, really having a tough time figuring out life and what he wanted to do. The distractions of college were very prevalent in his life, with, you know, whether it was you know, drinking and partying and all of these things, and not going to class.
Yeah.
And it put us in a really tough position, because this wasn't, it wasn't like a moment of a few months. It was, this is over years, and really started back in high school. So I know.
I would say elementary school, and then it got really tough in middle school. And then it just continued from there. So it's been a long journey for us with him, and being a strong-willed child, and just so many great qualities, but really, really tough to parent. And I think that we tried everything. We tried the tough love route, the, you know, like positive encouragement. I mean, you name it. We ran the gamut of it. And it wasn't until about a year ago I started really pondering the whole, like, forgiveness, mercy, what to do with our son. Like, what do we do? And I really came to, and I don't know, I can't really tell you how. It was probably through one of my Bible studies, but it was really around how Jesus came to save the world, not condemn it, and his grace and mercy. And just thinking about all the times, like, we do, we're really all prodigals. I mean, when it comes down to it, right? And we just keep getting grace and forgiveness. And so I started thinking about Andrew and how he just, the struggles. And it was always really, we got to a point where it was just really tough. And it was always like, well, change first and then we'll see. And it really came down to, I started thinking about it and I thought, you know, we need to maybe do something different here and really look at him in the image of God and how God created him and start treating him that way. Not that we were treating him great. I mean, his parents, but there was a lot of...
I understand. Right. I understand.
Tensions and just struggles with that. And so it was kind of like, treat him how Jesus treats us and just have a lot of grace and mercy and really kind of rally around him and just say, you know, hey, we're gonna do all these things. And there was just a lot of stuff that we did along those lines to give him a lot of grace and just helping him through some really tough times. And it's amazing how, what we have seen in a lot of prayer, of course, too, and a lot of people praying for him, but what we have seen in the changes in him and just, you know, him coming back to and apologizing for everything that has happened. And I just feel like a lot of people, our younger generation, they're so confused. It's just a really hard time to be growing up. There's so much confusion. And I think that for people, I mean, we have to be welcoming as Christians and we have to love them first.
Yes.
Because I think that when you give them that forgiveness, that they use that energy gets used to change instead of saying change first and then come to church.
Correct.
And just, we have a priest up north who just has this gift of doing that with people. And there's no judgment, and there's just this complete love, and he draws in so many people because of it. And I just think that we need to do that as Christians, and that's what Jesus did, right? Amen. When you think about all the sinners, he always showed love first, and then forgave, and then, of course, said, repent.
Yes.
And I think that in order to bring people into the way that, in the way this world is, and people becoming Christian, I think that we really do have to show that love.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that is particularly relevant, one is, you did what you could, but God had to do the rest, right? So you had a lot of patience, you had a love, you tried a multitude of strategies, but ultimately they are in the hands of God. You know, it's like converting another person is never really our responsibility. Like, we do the, what was the phrase, that we do the sowing and God does the growing.
Planting seeds,
right? But what would you guys say to those parents who, I mean, it seems like y'all are, y'all have seen a beautiful transformation through God's grace in this circumstance. I love the story of the amends as well. What would you say to parents who are in that in-between phase, as you guys were? Because some might argue a parent is only as happy as their unhappiest child. So what would you say to parents who are in that in-between, hoping for a transformation? Were there any spiritual tools that you guys picked up that really helped, give you strength and spiritual fortitude during that time?
Yeah, and I would say, Michelle and I, we began a practice of, we weren't daily rosary prayers, prayers. We didn't do that as a routine. And both Michelle and I started doing that. And then through that, our Blessed Mother, holy cow, guys. and Michelle and I, when we are stressed, we go to the rosary and we come out of the rosary unstressed.
Praise God.
100% of the time, always. And if it's a Divine Mercy Chaplet,
yes.
Or,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's, obviously there's so many of these things. But when you take it to the cross, which we did, that's when God had the opportunity. He audibly said to me, Jesus said to me, Greg, I've got him. Let him go.
Wow.
And I went to Michelle with that, and she's like, seriously? And I said, yes, we are at a point. We've done everything we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
We'll continue to love him. But Jesus is telling me for us to let him go and let God do what only he can do. And he said, I've got him.
Wow.
And we did that. And I will tell you, when we did that, that was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did that, things changed radically.
Really?
And I'm not saying that that's the formula for everybody, but I will tell you, bringing everything to the cross is what we're called
Amen.
To do. It's what we should do. It de-stresses you, at least in the battle. The whole topic of serenity, right?
Yes.
We can only control what we can do. And like you said, Josh, we're not here to bring, I mean, we're here to be the good examples to people and to evangelize, but that they have to grab Jesus's hand for themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's an individual thing. And it's really hard, mm-hmm. especially being involved in ministry where a lot of people don't, they decide not to. So that full trust in God and in his purpose, and knowing, of course, with our son, we completely raised him in the faith.
Yeah.
So we had him, all the way through. We are examples of that
yeah.
in our house. So he saw that. But when we got out of the way, things changed radically. So today, he'll be graduating college next May with a business degree from Kennesaw State University. He's about to accept an internship for the summer. A professional internship for the summer
nice.
With fantastic pay. He's going to get married to his high school sweetheart, who has been a blessing in our lives of uh-huh. staying with him through all of these things. Because, I mean, she's a saint to have stayed with him
yeah.
this long.
Mm.
Going on 8 years at this
wow.
point.
Wow.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is. She's been an angel for him, for sure.
And in our lives, too.
Mm-hmm.
And just a very, very kind person. Very much like Michelle. Very kind heart.
Yeah.
Very much understanding. Very much love. And then I'm kind of the axe grinder, right? Like I sand things down, and I tell the kids I'm a little bit tougher on them, and that's the balance that they get from us.
Yeah. So. Well, I love this story. I love this message and reflection because, in a way, your son, even in the struggle, gave you one of the greatest gifts for your marriage.
Yes.
Right. It got you, because a family and a couple that prays together. Who knows what kind of witness that was for your son? And I'm sure it strengthened your marriage, and most importantly, your relationship with God. So that's, again, he works all things for good. And this is a story I think a lot of people really needed to hear.
Well, and even obedience to God, with you hearing him say, he's mine, mm-hmm. Let me have him. As parents, we have to know that. We can pray, we can show them the way, but ultimately they're God's and we have to give them to God.
Amen.
Let go and let God.
Amen, amen, mm-hmm. amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Greg McDonald, founder of Men as Christ and Michelle McDonald, for this beautiful reflection about how we can love others and cling to God during the hardships of people we truly care about. We are so, so grateful for you guys. A universal message. We are truly blessed.
Amen.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for blessing us. We are truly grateful. And as always, let's close out the best way possible. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.